on Fridays instead of a Temen Halacha, what we've done in the past is just a little bit of something on the Parsha instead of a Temen Halacha Shir, you know, because it's Erev Shabbos, so we should be getting into the Parsha a little bit. Hopefully by now you're deep into the Parsha in Shnai Mikra, but I don't know if you're this deep into the Parsha. At the very end of the Parsha, there is a discussion of the various Karbanos and the Moadim as well, the Karbanos for the Moadim, but the section of the Parsha that speaks about each and every Karban begins with the Karban Tamid, which is the beginning of the Avodah that's Mechanech, the Mizbeach, each day with the Tamid Shel Shachar, and it's also what bookends all the Karbanos Yom. You have the Tamid Shel Shachar and the Tamid Shel Bein Arabayim. So there is a very famous Hakdama to the Ein Yaakov, where the Ein Yaakov in the Hakdamas HaKosev quotes a medrash that may or may not exist, but he says it exists, so as far as we know, we could trust the Ein Yaakov that it exists, even if we don't know exactly where this medrash is. And the medrash records a three-way machlokas in terms of what is the klal gadol batorah, what is the most important rule in the Torah. So Ben Zoma holds klal gadol batorah is kriya shema, kabol sol malch shemayim, and that makes a lot of sense, that a person has to believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have to be mekabel ol malch shemayim, otherwise there's no such thing as a mitzvah. If there's no mitzvah, there's no mitzvah, there's no avodas Hashem, there's no life, there's no nothing. So the whole religion is built on kabbalah sol malch shemayim, right? That's the machlokas rishon, whether anochi Hashem elokecha is a mitzvah. How could it be that anochi Hashem elokecha is a mitzvah? It's the basis for all mitzvahs. It's stupid. The rishonim that don't count it as a mitzvah don't say that it's not a mitzvah because it's not important. They say it's not a mitzvah because it's too important to be a mitzvah. It's the foundation and the basis for all mitzvahs. So Kabbalah Sol Malch Shemayim, in a certain sense, makes a lot of sense. That's a Klal Gadol Batorah. Then the Medrash quotes Ben Nanas, that a Klal Gadol Batorah is V'Havta L'Reacha Kamocha, that you have to love your fellow Jews, and that's a, maybe if Kabbalah Sol Malch Shemayim is symbolic of all mitzvahs Ben Adam L'Makom, V'Havta L'Reacha Kamocha rounds it out, and is symbolic of all mitzvahs Ben Adam L'Chaverom. So that makes sense, that would be a Klal Gadol Batorah as well, because people have an inclination to sometimes think of religious activity as something that's purely ben adam l'makom, and the way they act with other people, that's my personality, that's my relationships, that's not religion. So klal gadol bat Torah, you have to know that it's a major klal in Torah, the way that we behave with other people. That's the Bartanura at the very beginning of Pirkei Avos, where he writes that the Mishnah starts with Moshe Kibbol Torah Misinai, and then a whole Masechta all about Midos and how to be nice and how to behave in a proper way, to let you know this is also from Moshe Misinai. This is also a Klal Gadol Batorah. So certainly that is Muvan Me'elav, that would be important. And then there is a third Shita, not the Shita of Ben Zoma, not the Shita of Ben Nanas, but the Medrash says that there is a third Shita, there's a third Shita, which is Ben Pazi. All of them are Bens, all of the three Shitas. Ben Pazi says, that is the Klal Gadol Batorah. So the Ein Yaakov makes a big deal about how could that be the Klal Gadol Batorah, that you bring one of the many Karbanos that were brought in the Beis HaMikdash was the Karban Tamid. Okay, it was brought every single day, but that's going to be the Klal Gadol Batorah. You know, the Karban Tamid wasn't even so expensive. There's someone built a website of a carbon calculator where you can figure out how much it's going to cost you to bring all the carbonos that you need to bring on any given day of the year. Bulls are much more expensive than sheep. Sheep are not so expensive. But so you're going to have, they did based on current market values of the different animals in the Nesachim. Pretty brilliant. So the Kevzecha Tasav Boka Shein Tasav Erabayim, what is that? How could that be that's a Klal Gadol Batorah? And the Medrash says that's the halacha is like that third shita. The halacha is like that final shita of Ben Pazi. And the way the Ein Yaakov explains, quite famously, is that the key to so much of our success in life is a sense of consistency. It's a sense of showing up. There are some people that, by their nature, they're spectacular in bursts. You know, they'll have a burst of inspiration and they'll do spectacular things. And then they won't show up for a few days or a few weeks. They'll just disappear a little bit. And that is not the way to build a life of Avodas Hashem. That a person has to build a life of Avodas Hashem by showing up on time to Shacharis, by showing up every day on time for Mincha, by being not in the Bein Hasdarim, in the Seder time, by being there for Seder, by being there, by just being Shmiras Hasadarim. A lot of times, people think that it's the guy that stays up till 2 in the morning in the Beis Medrash, that's the one that's going to be Matzliach. You'll find in life, every once in a while, that kind of guy will be Matzliach, but you'll find in life, the guy that's going to be Matzliach is the guy that shows up to morning Seder on time every day. Guy that stays up till 2 in the morning is often late to Shacharis the next morning, in which case, he's probably not going to be Matzliach in life. That's no way to live. A way a person to be successful, a person has to develop a sense of consistency, a sense of habit, making proper practices and proper behavior, being habitual, and that certainly has to be the foundation of Avodas Hashem. You don't have a relationship with anybody if you disappear for periods of time. Right? One day you want to get married, and you say, I love my wife, 60% of the time, and the rest of the time, I'll just check out of the relationship, I'll just disappear. Well, that's not going to work, obviously. Your family needs to know that they can count on you all the time, that you love them all the time, that you're there for them all the time. That's the basis of any reasonable relationship, and we all know this intellectually, we know this intuitively, but it's easier said than done, and it's more difficult to put into practice. But that is not the entire picture. The end of the parsha then tells us that ve'elitasu, this is what you do, these are the karbonos that you do, levad minidrechem uminidvosechem. Aside from the nedarim and nedavos that you're going to bring as karbanos as well, that you don't only have to bring karbanos chova, you don't only have to bring a tamash shalshach, a tamash shalerabayim that the tzibur brings every single day, and karbanos musaf on the yom tovim, you don't only have to bring a chatas when you're chayav a chatas, but rather there's such a thing as a neder and nedava. There's such a thing as each individual deciding when they want to do something a little extra. When they want to do something that's a little bit more, a neder and nedava, the stipler in Birchas Peretz and Rav Yonatan Sachs, who's coming next week, Bez Hashem, loves to quote this stipler. The stipler in Birchas Peretz, in the beginning of Vayikra, asks the Kasha, why do we have Divrei Rishos in the Torah? Why is there such a thing as mitzvahs that you can do, and it's not perfectly prescribed exactly what you're supposed to do, when you're supposed to do, how much you're supposed to do. Lamashal, there's nedarim and nedavos, nezirus, the whole concept of nezirus, a mitzvah in the Torah that a person becomes a nazir and has so many dinim with the giluach seyar and with the karbanos and with the grape products and tumas meis, and there's nezirus shimshat, there's a whole mesechta in Shas about nezirus, and most people will never ever be a nazir, because it's totally optional if a person wants to become a Nazir. Why did Chris Baruch, if Hashem loves Nazirim so much, then you should have told us all that at some point in your life, take 30 days and be a Nazir. Live like that for 30 days of your life. And if Hashem doesn't love Nazirim so much, and he thinks, like the Gemara says, that anyone who takes a Neder Nazirus is going to, Yerushalmi says, he's going to have to pay a price because he's depriving himself of an Oslam. So don't give us the option. Don't give us Nazirus. What's this idea of Nazirus? Or, for example, there's a din when it comes to being mafresh truma from your peiros, the chita achas poteres es kalakri. You have a giant silo of grain, and to be yotze, the mitzvah da'oraisa of truma gedola, to give to a kohen, you could take one stalk of wheat and give that to a kohen. And what's the maximum that you can give to a kohen? 99% of your stock. So you can't give 100%, but 99%. That's quite a range. From chita achas to giving as much as you want from all of your grain, and it's your choice. Okay, the Mishnayos give us a little bit of guidance, a little bit, that echon mi-chamishim is mida beninis, echon mi-arba'im, if you give 2.5%, then you're already very generous. Echon mi-shishim, I can't do the percentage in my head, is 1.66, right? Is ayin ra'a, is someone who's a little stingier, but there's so much leeway. There's so much leeway. Why does the Torah give us so much leeway in terms of doing mitzvahs, certain mitzvahs, how we want to, when we want to, how much we want to? So the stipler explains that the Torah wants to teach us that there's something called ahavas Hashem. There's something called expressing love for somebody else. And a person cannot build a full sense of ahava with only those things that you're obligated to do. Sometimes you have to just be thoughtful. You have to go beyond what the bare minimum obligations are. if you're going to have a sense of ahava. You know, it's Rabbi Reisman likes to give the example. He says, under the chuppah, a chassan says to a kali, takes out a ring, the Masar Kedusha says, your ring, yeah, it's my ring. They interrogate him for 5 minutes. You know, is it worth the shavuta, worth the shavuta, this and that. Fine, he has the ring, and he says to the kala, he gives her the ring. Have you ever, you've been to weddings in your life, many times I assume, I've been to many. I've never, in all my life, never seen a kala take the ring and say, thank you. Never once. Never said thank you. Someone just gave her a nice ring. It's worth a couple $100. Why doesn't the chassan turn to her parents and be like, this is the girl you raised? She doesn't even have decency to say thank you. Right? She doesn't say thank you for a ring I just gave her. What's the matter with her? How come not a single color, the finest, most edel colors, don't say thank you? You know why they don't say thank you? Because they know that he needs to give her a ring. He wants to get married. He's got to give her a ring. He doesn't have a choice. You don't build ahava by giving that ring. You know, you build ahava when you know, on the whatever year anniversary, you upgrade the ring to have a few gems on it or something. That's when you build ahava. You build ahava when you do something that you don't need to do, that you don't have to do, that's not an obligation to do. That's something that's thoughtful that you choose on your own to do. You know, with the in the wedding industry, there's like a in the Jewish wedding industry. There are lots of issues that we could take on in terms of what's wrong with Jewish weddings, leaving aside the amount of time that's often wasted in between the chuppah and when the first dance starts. Leaving that aside, that we're not going to get into that right now. But there's a lot of stuff that you could take issue with. So everyone always wants, or people often want, that their wedding shouldn't just feel like, you know, rinse, repeat, that it's the same wedding that was in that same hall the night before, and it's the same wedding that's going to be in that hall the night after, and it's exactly the same. So everyone always wants to do something original. So they hire fancy party planners, and the party planner comes up with something that, no one ever thought of, from Priyas Olam, no one ever thought of something so clever. There's somewhere else you could stick thousands of dollars worth of flowers, besides for the tables and around the chuppah. What if you stick it on the way down to the hall? What if you stick it in the hallway? What if you, right, there's somewhere else that you could, and that's going to be wow, that's going to be amazing, that's going to change the whole thing, that's going to make this wedding a very special experience. It's going to be so unusual to do something like that. And the truth is, someone told me last week that they were at a frum wedding, and at the end of the chuppah, they opened up a box under the chuppah, and doves flew out from the, you know, wow, they had doves flying out. I don't know if someone took a gun, just, you know, like it was hunting, but they got to get them back for the next one. But so pretty soon, I'm sure, at every frum wedding, you know, you'll have, and even indoor chuppahs, you know, you'll have, there'll be droppings on people's tuxes and whatever, right? Meaning, why not, right? That's got to be the new thing that people do. No, but we're not talking about that now. The point I was trying to make is, I was at a wedding recently where after the chuppah, someone got on the microphone and announced, our family, the Kala's family's minhag, is that in between, at each of our weddings, between the chuppah and the first dance, there's a shir, optional, anyone wants to come to a shir. We have so many Rosh Yeshiva here, so we ask a different Rosh Yeshiva to give a shir at the wedding. It doesn't work in every wedding hall, certainly not in the frum wedding halls, because there's no extra space. Right? In the frum wedding halls, like, you go and you're at the chassan's tish, and then you stand up and they move a bunch of things around you, and you sit down, and all of a sudden you're at the chuppah. And then you stand up and they move a bunch of things around you, and all of a sudden you sit down, you're at your table, you don't have to move the whole time. So they don't have room for that. But in, like, the fancier places, they have room. So they had room for this. Daniel Lander gave a shir. They told me that at the previous wedding, Rav Yerucham Olshan had given a shir. Beautiful. So there are ways to make it unique, and there are ways to, I was at a different wedding. The father of the kala and the mother of the kala wrote notes on everyone's place card, just a personal note to thank them for your friendship, for your love, for, you know, all the, I can't imagine how long that took them. Hundreds of guests, personal notes. There are ways to make things unique, and where you're just trying to spend money, and there are ways to make things unique when you're trying to be thoughtful. So in the first wedding I mentioned, that was a unique expression of Avas Hashem. It was a unique expression. You don't have to have a shir then. You don't have to. You don't have to provide people with an opportunity to learn Torah then. But you're showing berosh simchasi. When I'm experiencing simcha, I want to be mitzdarif that simcha to a simcha of Torah. Ain't simcha kesimcha sa Torah. And that's what this bias that we're trying to build is supposed to be on the foundations of Torah. In the second case, it's a unique expression of love for all of the guests, of love for all the friends and the family. Hard to do, very hard to do. I certainly didn't do it and don't plan on it because I don't have that kind of time. I mean, or everyone has the time if they want to make time for it, but I don't have that much love in my heart, I guess. But the unique, what makes it unique? Not because I could throw a few more dollars at it. What makes it unique is that a person thinks, how can I express love in a way that it's not a chiyuv. Yeah, I have to feed my guests. That's a chiyuv. I don't have a chiyuv to do this. Says the Stipler, when you want to express ahava, ahava has to be with a person where a person has their own choice to a certain extent. You know, tefillah is not only a chiyuv. Tefillah is also a rishus, meaning there are many times throughout the day where you could daven la'avda b'chal levavchem. Truma is because you love the kohen. You want to show a relationship with the kohen, so you can show him how much you love him by giving him chita achas, or you can show him how much you value the kohuna and the kedusha that he brings to Klal Yisrael by giving him a little more. You know, similar to a kesher between a Rebbe and a Talmud. And Rav Sachs pointed out when he spoke here once in the Keli a number of years ago, there in Parshas Pinchas, in this week's Parsha, Moshe Rabbeinu is told to appoint Yehoshua ben Nun and to be Somech Yado al Yehoshua. And that's Moshe Kibbutz Torah Mesinai Masara LYehoshua, that he had to be Somech Yado al Yehoshua. Moshe Rabbeinu had so many Talmidim, but it was Masara LYehoshua. He decided to give it to Yehoshua. V'samachta es Yadcha. Yadcha is Yado Achas. And what happened? What did Moshe Rabbeinu actually do? He was Somich B'shnei Yadayim. Now, Rav Sachs pointed out, Yadcha Achas, you could touch somebody with Yadcha Achas. You can put your hand on their head, you can shake their hand, you could reach somebody with Yadcha Achas. You can't hug somebody with one hand. To hug somebody, that takes two hands. And Moshe Rabbeinu was trying to say, I want to show you a hug. And the hug requires two hands. The hug requires doing something more than HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me to do. He had plenty of talmidim that he was samach yado, that he could shake their hand, that he could put one hand on, that he could impact them in some way. But he wanted to show something a little extra. And the only way to show that extra love, that extra something, was by utilizing both hands. You know, there's a tendency to give like a bad rap to the concept of chumras. Rav Reisman pointed out that he gets calls sometimes about shiduchim, where people will ask about a young man, is he a growing boy? So Rav Reisman will say, you mean does he take on chumras every now and then? They're like, no, not chumras, we just want to know if he's a growing boy. Well, how's he supposed to grow if he's not taking on new things? Wait, you want him to start below the baseline and then like take a, I'm going to start taking on keeping kosher net. Like that's what you want? Or you want someone who's already at the baseline and takes on, that's how he grows. He takes on new things. It's not a terrible thing to take on. One has to be careful. I asked Rav Schachter, when do you know if a chumra is a good chumra to take on, and when do you know if it's a bad chumra to take on? He said, if you have a mesorah from a big Talmud Chacham, it's a good chumra. If you don't have a mesorah from a big Talmud Chacham, it's probably not a great chumra to take on. But an extra hakpada doesn't have to be, you know, there are so many details in halacha, so many things that we keep the baseline halacha. And I'll give you a simple mashal. You got to do shnayim mikra, right? That's a din in Shulchan Aruch. My friend Rabbi Yechiel Weberman, the first time he finished Shas, he made a siyum in Shar Yashiv, and the Rashiva Shlita of Naftali Yeager came over to him after the siyum. He said, Mazdov is a great, great accomplishment. You should know, though, just remember, it never says anywhere in Shulchan Aruch they have to finish Shas. But it says in Shulchan Aruch, you got to do Shnayim Mikra. So make sure that the Shas doesn't come at the expense of Shnayim Mikra. Make sure that you do Shnayim Mikra. You got to do Shnayim Mikra. But how do you do Shnayim Mikra? Do you do Rashi? Do you do Unklus? Do you do an article translation? One, the other, all, both, what? So how you do it, how much time you put in, how much thought you put into it. So a lot of that is, it's up to you. It's up to you how much you want to do. We're not that far away from Elul. We're already in 3 weeks. In Chodesh Elul, I often recommend often. Last year I started recommending that it's always a time that you want to take on new things that time of the year, right? That's a tradition, certainly during Asaras Yimei Tshuva, but even Chodesh Elul, to take on new things. So what I would recommend is start thinking about it now. Two things that you're going to start in Chodesh Elul. One of which, at the end of the Asaras Yimei Tshuva, in the Ilah of Yom Kippur, you're going to decide, one of these things I'm keeping. I'm going to keep with me. Bli neder. I'm going to keep with me as life goes on. The other one, that was just my extra love for Chodesh Elul and for Asaras Yimei Tshuva. That there should be things that's an elevated time of the year, but there should also be things that this time of the year is an opportunity to elevate myself for the future as well, to express a certain sense of Avas Hashem. So take any two small things. It could be anything. It could be whatever. I don't even want to make suggestions. It could be something, anything small. Two small things. And then you'll figure out which one is more doable. Once you have 40 days of practice, you'll be able to figure out which one is more doable as a more lifelong endeavor. So I said, Kevesech HaTasav Boker, Karban Tamid is the Yisod. It's the basis, the foundation. You got to be on time to davening. You got to be at your Siddurim. You can't be an Eved Hashem in bursts and spurts and then not show up. You have to be there. You have to be consistent. You'll see that the guys that are most matzliach in yeshiva are the guys who know how to show up every day. It's not the smartest guys. It's not the most charismatic guys. It's the guys who show up every day to learn, and that certainly is the foundation. But then on top of that, levad minidrechem uminidvoseichem, that the Torah tells us we also have to have a certain sense of volunteering, of choosing how we're going to serve Hashem, of choosing how we're going to be kind to other people, and that's going to be what really separates us in terms of an elevated sense of Avas Hashem.